I'm John Kroll. Today's No Limits will open a new window for you into a special world and into history itself. Today, Indianapolis will elect a new mayor. And while the citizens of this city do that, we will talk with four people who know what it means to take on that job and all its responsibilities. Former Indianapolis mayors Richard Lugar, William Hudnut, Stephen Goldsmith, and Bart Peterson. You will want to be part of this historic conversation. To join in, please call 866-476-3881. Our email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is nolimitswfyi. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We have a special, even historic show today. As most of you know, Indianapolis is having an election. Actually, cities all over Indiana are having elections right now. Indianapolis is going to be electing a new mayor. Only a select few people on this planet know what it means to step into that job, and we have four of them with us today. We are joined today by former Indianapolis mayors Richard Lugar, William Hudnut, Stephen Goldsmith, and Bart Peterson. Now, I know you're probably going to want to join this conversation, so if you do, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, I promise this is the only time I'm going to do this. I'll start out by saying, welcome, Mr. Mayor. I figure that that takes care of all of you.
Thank you.
It's good to have you all with us. For the purposes of this discussion, because I thought about this a little bit, given that we are talking about the mayor's race, and I know you all have had long careers with distinguished resumes and many other accomplishments, I think I am going to refer to you, unless someone has a serious objection, as Mayor Lugar, Mayor Hudnut, Mayor Goldsmith, Mayor Peterson, just to keep the focus on that office and those responsibilities. I want to start, I'll start this in chronological order by asking Mayor Lugar first what the moment was like. I mean, at some point tonight, either Joe Hogsett or Chuck Brewer is going to realize, oh, okay, I won. I now have to do this. What was that moment like for you when you realized you had been elected mayor and the responsibility was coming your way?
It was truly a thrilling moment. I was with my family members at the time, and we were down at Republican headquarters, as I recall, so we were with all the wonderful people who had been so helpful to us throughout, and throughout the evening, it appeared that we had a lead, and so we were sort of clued in maybe a couple of hours before it was official, but it was just an overwhelming time of thinking about all the campaign which had preceded this, and likewise, all the promises we had made and all the people we were going to need. And immediately, as soon as the sense of celebration fades, you really understand that you're on trial and got to be ready for duty.
Mayor Hudnut, what was the moment like for you?
Well, it was very exhilarating. And I thought when I realized I was being elected, and it was a close election with our former friend Bob Welch, I thought, oh, my goodness, it's now come on me. It's almost like you have a baby and you know your life's going to change right away. And the burden of the office sort of weighed upon me because I was something of a neophyte compared to people like Dick and Steve who went in and with a lot of background. And I remember, I hope, Dick, you'll laugh at this, but I remember within 24 hours after I was elected, it was announced that a snowstorm was coming from the west.
Right on.
I told the audience that I was speaking to that I didn't want to be blamed for this because it had started coalescing out in the Midwest while Lugar was mayor. But I was also proud that Dick swore me in on Election Day. Or, I'm sorry, on Inauguration Day.
Mayor Goldsmith, what was the moment like for you? Do we have Mayor Goldsmith with us?
Yeah, I couldn't hear the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the moment when you found out that you had won and that you were assuming the office? What was that moment like for you?
Yeah. Well, you're cautiously optimistic or not at those points in time, and I was really unsure if I was going to win, and I was in a small room with my family outside of the more raucous kind of Republican event that Dick mentioned, and then you realize that this great responsibility is about to happen. You know, I had been in Mayor Hudnut's shadow or influence. I mean, I worked in that building. I started working as a part-time lawyer for Dick Lugar, and I was prosecutor when Bill was mayor. So I had essentially grown up in the city county building as a professional, right? And so now becoming mayor, Bill being allowed to kind of go from the 5th floor to the 25th floor seemed like a set that was truly daunting.
Mayor Peterson.
Well, first of all, it is, as the others have said, it's a thrill. You never really believe it until all the votes are counted. But I think as I stood there in front of that raucous crowd, in my case, I realized not so much how my life was going to change, but how much it had already changed, because I looked out at this group of people and I knew they had helped me get there. And with their support, they were going to help me get through the next 4 years and perhaps beyond. And so many of these people I didn't even know before my campaign started. So you make so many friends, you develop so many new relationships, you learn so much in the process of campaigning that I think it really helps you think about what it's going to be like afterwards if you're successful. I will say it is a lot better to win than lose. I've done both, and I can tell you that I much prefer the former. I may not
Amen,
have a chance
brother.
to I may not have a chance to say this any other time. So I'll just say something that I used to say all the time. Steve Goldsmith, of course, was my predecessor, and being of different parties, he did not really go out of his way to help me win. But after the election was over, I can't imagine somebody offering more in the way of support. We could not have had a better transition. He was available all the time, and my transition was eased tremendously by his support, and I'll always be grateful for that, Steve.
If you are just joining us, we are talking with the four former mayors of Indianapolis, Richard Lugar, William Hudnut, Stephen Goldsmith, and Bart Peterson. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a call at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Mayor Peterson, I'm going to stay with you for just a second and talk about, you know, all of you, obviously, to become mayor, you have to consciously go after it. You have to campaign. You have to put yourself through a very arduous campaign. But you can't really know what the job is like until you step into it. One of these guys is going to have that experience here soon. I'd like to ask each of you, what was the most surprising thing when you took the office, the thing that you weren't prepared for or thought you might have been, but it turned out to be much bigger than you thought it would be?
You know, I think when you get in and you see what it takes to run the government from a budgetary standpoint. I'm not suggesting anything other than every single mayor who comes into office is going to be surprised by how difficult it is to make the budget work. The needs far exceed the available revenues. And, you know, for me, seeing it up close and personal once I had full access to the books was perhaps the most negative shock, because it's going to be that way for the next mayor as well. The the biggest challenge I think we face in Indiana is we don't have the tools in place to adequately fund our cities to be able to enhance the quality of life, fight crime, all the things that you need to do at the local level. And so that for me was the biggest shock, was seeing what it really was like.
Mayor Goldsmith, what was the biggest shock for you? Mayor Goldsmith? Well, I'll move on.
No matter how much you prepare, whether it's during the campaign or in a transition, I just don't think one can quite appreciate the learning curve and the size of the responsibility. So what surprised me most is how much I didn't know about how the city worked, right? The details of every one of the many things that a mayor is expected to be knowledgeable about, and that learning curve continued over some period of time for me.
Mayor Hudnut, what was the biggest surprise for you?
Well, I agree with what's been said about the learning curve and all the complexities of government, but I'm going to answer your question about what surprised me the most with one word: snow. I don't know why, but the weather was really bad after I was elected in 1976 and 7, and then came that blizzard. And I realized early on when we messed up on a couple of ice storms that we had to really get ready for what I called at the time declaring a war on snow. And this is trivial in a sense, but also it's important because the first job of a mayor is to mind the store. And that means picking up the trash and filling the chuck holes and plowing the snow and keeping the city running smoothly. And for me, the biggest challenge at first, other than trying to figure out where we were going to go as a city, had to do with our capability to do well with the snow. And that finally paid off during the blizzard of 78, when we were able to turn what could have been a terrible negative into a positive. I mean, one fellow, the Democrat Party, Bart, who was going to run against me, said to me in the city county basement, building basement, a couple days after we dug out from the blizzard, "I was thinking about running against you, but I'm not going to do it now. You're stronger than 10 acres of dead onions."
You know, let me just second that. We had a saying in my office: when it snows, nothing else matters.
Matters, yeah. You got to clear.
There you go.
Mayor Lugar, what was the biggest surprise for you?
I had been on the school board in the years prior to coming in as mayor, so I had been fairly well acquainted with a good bit of the governmental apparatus. But what was surprising was the concentration of attention upon my family, upon our household, upon our private life. In other words, we had four boys who were young, who were in elementary school in those days. And I was concerned really frequently about their safety and about all of the people sometimes who dumped garbage on our lawn or made other intrusive activities that indicated their feelings about us and what we were doing. It was one thing to do the job, but quite another likewise to wonder what was happening at home, how Shar and the family were doing. So these were concerns right off the bat.
If you are just joining us, we are talking with Indianapolis's four former mayors, Richard Lugar, William Hudnut, Stephen Goldsmith, and Bart Peterson. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-4780.
I agree with Mayor Lugar. I tell you, the first night I was elected, I got a death threat.
Who were they able to track down from whom?
I don't know, but I survived.
Well, that's true. Is it, you know, is that level of, well, we're heading close to a break right now, and I did want to talk about sort of the all-inclusive nature of that job at some length, because it is, and I'll set this up a bit for the audience as we head into the break, because, you know, mayor is not one of those jobs that is 8 to 5 or anything. Once you're elected, until you leave office, you pretty much are on the clock all the time. You become public property, and to a degree, your family becomes public property too, which I think would be a tremendous adjustment. So that is what we will be talking about when we come back for the break. If members of the audience would like to join this conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. Because today is Election Day here in Indianapolis and all across the state, and Indianapolis is going to have a new mayor very, very soon, we're focusing on what it means and what lessons there are for the people who, one of them, the person who will be stepping into that job within a couple of months. My guests are Indianapolis's four former mayors, Richard Lugar, William Hudnut, Stephen Goldsmith, and Bart Peterson. Just before we went to the break, we were talking about sort of the all-encompassing nature of the job and how, in effect, the people who are elected to it become public property. In some ways, Mayor Goldsmith, I think I'm going to start with you on this one, and I know you have to leave at some point in the program, so I may throw a couple of the questions to you here in a hurry. But I would think that problem could be compounded in your case because you'd been, before you were mayor, you were also a prosecutor, which was a high-profile job that had a potential to anger an awful lot of people as well.
Well, I think the comments earlier by Bill and Dick about there are a fair number of people in the committee who are not so excited about the fact that one of us has won an election. Mine were compounded by the fact for 12 years I put half of Marion County in jail. I took a lot of bad sports in that group, and I'd had around-the-clock police protection as prosecutor. So that's one issue that affects your children, affects your family. The other way, though, to answer your question is the following, which is that, every mayor has a different personality, and you've got a couple different jobs as mayor, right? One is ceremonial, and one is governance, right, the operation of government. And, you know, and both could be full-time jobs if you let them. And so I'm not inherently that gregarious, so I was focused on the operation side. And so the ceremonial side, would, you know, there's 10 events you could go to every night if you wanted to or if you could. So for me, the public nature of it was a little bit confusing, actually, in terms of kind of how to allocate my time between places where people wanted you and you know, the hardcore work of being mayor. So I found that whole transition a little bit problematic for both of those reasons.
Was it hard to let down? I mean, I would think, you know, because you never know.
I never wanted to let down. I wanted to stay awake and not let down for 24 hours a day for the 4 or 8 years of my term. I had no interest in letting down. So that part of it was pretty exhilarating for me.
Mayor Lugar, was that transition to, you know, you've already alluded to sort of the way that it affected your family, that notion that, in effect, you become public property when you are elected mayor, was that a difficult adjustment?
But it was not particularly difficult. I had been involved in a good number of controversies, and the school board had some idea of what kind of relations might occur there. What I want to pick up from what Steve said, however, is that I found, as I suspect he and Bill and Bart did, that literally it was a 24/7 job. In other words, this is a city that goes on and on, whatever the hour of the day may be. You're responsible for the police department, the fire department, potential weather disasters, if the case may be, or whatever may happen. And this occurs on Saturdays and Sundays likewise. In other words, it's a very abnormal sort of experience. When I completed the final day after 8 years, I felt really in an abnormal state, just having any kind of regularity of actually going to sleep and sleeping a regular time, or having a thought that there might be a Saturday or Sunday.
Mayor Hudnut, what was it a difficult adjustment for you?
It certainly was all-consuming. You didn't know what was going to happen in the night as well as the day. For example, under Dick's leadership, Bobby Kennedy was in town and gave that famous speech after Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in 78. I got a call at 4 in the morning saying that everything was closed. The blizzard had come in. I had to trudge out to get a helicopter to take me down to the radio stations to declare curfew. Even before the sun rose, saving some people along the way whom we saw tipped in and stuck in a ditch. Then I'm out giving a talk one night when I get the word that there's a group of African-American clergymen on the doorsteps of the city-county building demanding my resignation and that of the police chief over a police action shooting. And it just goes on and on. There's never an end to it. And as Steve said, you could go to 10 meetings a night. And during the campaign season, I was home one night between Labor Day and Election Day, and that was for my birthday. So it is hard to find some private time. I always tried to, but it's a demanding job. People don't realize, I think, how much you've got to be on the spot, Johnny on the spot, and take care of things when they erupt.
Mayor Peterson.
Well, amen to the 24/7 nature of the job, and also the expect the unexpected part of it as well. I used to say that one of the benefits of running citywide and serving in a citywide office versus a statewide office is that you can sleep in your own bed every night. The flip side is people expect you to be at every single backyard barbecue and every gathering of more than two people because they know that you're not very far away. And so the expectations of being everywhere all the time, you always feel like you're kind of letting somebody down if you're not at their event. And also on the unexpected side, 9/11 happened while I was in office. And I remember we were the host for the 25th anniversary celebration of Habitat for Humanity. And my week that week had three or four events associated with that, including the big celebration of Habitat for Humanity at the end of the week in which President Carter was going to be attending. And on the second day of the week is Tuesday, I believe, is when 9/11 occurred. And, of course, that changed everything forever. At the moment, we didn't know whether, you know, all government offices in the country might be under attack. I knew we resided in the tallest government office building in the state of Indiana at the time, the city-county building. And so, nobody really knew what was going to happen. There was no playbook. There's no guide to what you do when the greatest terrorist attack in our nation's history hits and you're in the position of leading one city. So it is. That's what's exhilarating about the job. That's what's fun about the job. That's probably what we all miss about the job. But it is nice to get a good night's sleep every now and then.
Well, and I guess when I was framing that question too, I was thinking, and I'm recalling being at a high school football game here in Indianapolis at the school where Tony Dungy's son was attending, and Tony Dungy was in the stands watching his son play football. The kid got hit with an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, and every eye in the place swiveled first from the player on the field to the father in the stands. And I thought, okay, that there's a dynamic there that, you know, even though you have become mayor and you have become public property, all of you were family men. All of you had spouses, and you had children who got dragged into this. How did you manage to carve out space? Even if you do want to do the job 24/7 and you're exhilarated by it, you still want to meet those other responsibilities. How do you go about doing that? Mayor Goldsmith, I'll start with you on that one.
Well, let me start by conceding I think I did it imperfectly. Mm-hmm. Just because that you can pretend you can balance all these things, but you know, every day, every meeting, every allocation of, you know, the most precious resource, which is your time. So I'm not sure I actually got it right. And you know, there's a flattering side of being known throughout the city, and there's a set of liabilities that go with it. I mean, it's most vivid to me is, you know, the well-wishers who would come up, the friendly people would come up at a restaurant, right? That's a very nice thing, except when you're trying to have dinner with your family or your daughter, right? So you can't turn it on and you can't turn it off, and I think I probably got the balance a little bit off because I figured I'd only be mayor for a limited amount of time, and I was focused or too focused on that.
Mayor Hudnut.
It's always a hard balance, let's face it. But the attitude I had was to enjoy every day, to embrace it as a new opportunity for service, and to let the chips fall where they would with regard to both me and my private life and my public life, so that I tried to adopt this attitude of being mayor for all the people and appreciating the opportunities to interact with people, whether it was in a restaurant when they intruded or at a senior citizen's luncheon or in a corporate boardroom, but always to try to remember that everybody counted, not just the people that voted for you, and you were elected to be mayor of all the people. And with that kind of attitude, these other things seem to fall into place for me. And to be frank about it, I just plain enjoyed it.
Mayor Peterson.
Except for the press from time to time, John.
Yeah, as you have told me a time or two.
You know, I came into office very conscious of this. I had one child, our daughter Meg, and she was 11 when I was elected. And I was very conscious of the risks to our family life and pretty protective. Amy and I both were of Meg. But we went out in public a lot. We went out to dinner a lot. We always found that was time that we could carve out and know that we would have that time with each other. And I have to say, for the most part, people respected that. We were interrupted a lot, but people generally would come up and just say something very quickly, like, I don't want to bother you. I know you're with your family, but they'd say something positive. I can't remember a time when anybody came up and interrupted my family time with a negative comment. Doesn't mean they weren't thinking about it, but they probably thought better of doing it at that moment. And so that worked out pretty well. And the other thing is we took vacations. The only way I could survive it was to get away. And we took vacations with some frequency and generally were uninterrupted. But I will tell you, there was never a comfortable night's sleep, because more often than not, at some point during a week-long vacation out of town, I'd be interrupted by some crisis. And the worst thing, of course, is if somebody very important in the community passed away and you needed to be there, or if, God forbid, a police officer was shot or a firefighter was injured or killed in the line of duty, which I think we all would agree is the single most horrific part of the job. You feel those things very personally, and those happen on vacations as well, and that's when you have to put the city first.
Mayor Lugar.
Well, there were a lot of stresses, but let me just say there were some very joyous moments. Our four boys and Cheryl and I so much enjoyed the Pacer games out at the Coliseum. We sat next to Nancy Leonard, Bob Leonard's wife, during the time he was the coach, and had a great time almost each game as it came along. And likewise, with the 500 Festival, we were as a family in an open car going down Meridian Street and up Illinois and what have you. And it was exciting to wave for the crowd. The boys loved to wave for the crowd, enjoyed the whole business enormously. We went as a family out to St. Luke's United Methodist Church every Sunday. And that was a very special time in our lives, too, with regularity of to enjoy all of our friends in that congregation. There were just so many activities that came along. One that was a real test for the boys, but they just did a super job. While I was mayor, schools were desegregated. Two of our sons were assigned to Crispus Attucks High School, which was desegregated at that point. They were among the first entrants there. Char coached the volleyball team. And so there were a lot of joyous moments that I recall that were very important for our family.
Yep.
We've gotten a Facebook comment from a listener named Jeff, and if you'd like to reach out to us via Facebook, you can find us at No Limits WFYI. You also can find us on Twitter at WFYI, or you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Jeff says, I was a summer intern for Mayor Hudnut. We had weekly breakfasts with the mayor. Mayor Bill amazed us students with his ability to relate the political philosophy of John Locke to city sewers. As a mentor, that's not a connection I would have made either, I've got to say. As a mentor, he was both brilliant and down-to-earth practical. Well, that's got to feel good to hear, Mayor Hudnut.
Well, yeah, I don't recollect the incident, but I'm grateful for his memory of it. We had a lot of chances to practice what I might call the efficacy of the little good. And speaking to a class, talking to a police recruit or a patrolman, mentoring a colleague, visiting with a senior citizen who had a problem, all that never appeared in the newspapers, but it was a part and parcel of the job and a very satisfying part of it. And I don't mean to sound braggadocio for the four of us, but I'm sure that each one of us had experiences where really the public didn't know about it, but we helped somebody. And that kind of service attitude, I think, is very important because to be trite about it is indeed government of the people and by the people and for the people.
We're going to lose Mayor Goldsmith here in a couple of minutes because he does have another commitment. So I'm going to ask, you know, this is the kind of question Jeff's question set up for us. What was the greatest satisfaction of the job for you, Mayor Goldsmith?
Yeah, you know, I think actually Bill just answered it. Yeah, so let me personalize it this way. So yesterday, the day before, I came out of a hotel in Indianapolis, and a woman who was the valet, Parker, said, just a minute, ran in and came back with a bottle of water. I mean, she just clearly went out of her way, and I thanked her. And she said, I just wanted to let you know that I got my first job in a welfare-to-work program that you set up, and it changed my life, right? And we all have, you know, a basket of those stories of individual, highly personal lives who've been better as a result of, you know, our ability to help them. That comes incumbent with a job. And we think about these kind of macro issues and economic development and sports and all the things that collectively that we've worked together on. And I think it is fair to say that the four of us view this as kind of a continuing path to progress for the city. But in the end, it's the personal comment of an individual that gives you the most satisfaction.
If you are just joining us, we are talking with Indianapolis's four former mayors, Richard Lugar, William Hudnut, Stephen Goldsmith, and Bart Peterson. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimitswfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. We have to say farewell to Mayor Goldsmith. Thank you very much for joining us. But the rest of us will be back after the break. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today in anticipation of the election of a new mayor of Indianapolis with Indianapolis's four former mayors. We are joined now by former Indianapolis mayors Richard Lugar, William Hudnut, and Bart Peterson. We had Steve Goldsmith with us before the break, but he had to leave for another commitment. And I'm going to ask the other three the same question that I asked Mayor Goldsmith beforehand. I'll start with Mayor Peterson on this one. What was the greatest satisfaction of the job? Because it is a huge, you know, responsibility. You got to get something in return for that.
Yeah, you know, this is in our many occasions of being together. This is a topic I don't think has come up. And I find myself saying exactly the same thing that Steve said and that Bill said about helping individuals. You know, we do deal with very large issues that have long-lasting impact on the city. But those impacts are sometimes slow to show up, and your own individual contribution sometimes is not as easy to define. But when you do something for one individual, when you change one person's life, and you can actually see it happen, boy, that is where the satisfaction comes from. I had an occasion, I can't remember what the event was, but it was a gathering for homeless people in the city. And I ended up engaging in a conversation with one man who'd had a very, very tough life. And I asked, he wanted an opportunity is what he wanted. And I remember I asked my staff person to come over and write down the information and follow up. And I learned about 6 months later that he had been housed, he was employed, and he had been able to, you know, make a huge turnaround in his life. And it came out of that encounter. And that was very, very satisfying. You know, one of the great surprises, positive surprises for me is I thought when I went into the job that I would see the seamy underbelly of the city. I'd have an opportunity, if you want to call it that, to sort of see the worst of life in Indianapolis, and that I might, you know, I kind of worried about what I'd come out as on the other end, being able to see things that other people didn't see. And in fact, the reality was the complete opposite. What I saw that I didn't know was going on was so much good. So many nonprofit organizations, so many people doing incredible selfless things, things that you don't hear about in the media. The media covers many of these things, but it can't cover all of them. They're going on all over the city every day. And as a mayor, you have a front row seat to see the good that's going on. I came out with a far greater faith in humanity and even love for our city than I went in with.
Mayor Lugar? What was the greatest satisfaction for you?
Well, let me just cite April the 4th, 1968. Mention has been made of the remarkable speech that Robert Kennedy gave up the 17th and Broadway. I encouraged the Kennedy campaign not to come to Indianapolis. We knew that there was going to be some difficulty just at that location, but it was not until dinner time and I got word that Dr. King had been assassinated, and clearly it was too late to prevent the rally from occurring. I remember being at the Murat Hotel trying to direct the police force and what have you, but that would not have ultimately made the difference, aside from a couple of guys who were called black activists, Snooky Hendricks and Ben Bell, who helped calm the crowd and said, this is not the time, this is not the time. And remarkably, and this went on for days as we talked over the television, as we went to church basements and street corners and what have you, Indianapolis was calm. It made it through a very, very difficult period just 3 months after I was elected mayor. And I'll never forget that whole sequence of events because it made all the difference, really, in the outlook of our country toward our city, but likewise, more importantly, for the lives of the individuals who might have been affected.
Mayor Hudnut, what was your greatest satisfaction?
My greatest what?
Your greatest satisfaction in the job.
Well, you know, I could be very trite and say filling a chuck hole for somebody or putting in a stop sign or a sidewalk or building a new sewer. because our infrastructure was decaying and we had a lot of combined sewer overflows and all that. Or I could be big and say, or think big and say, well, the coming of the Colts and saving the Pacers were two great big thrills for me and very, very satisfying. I mean, we built that Dome Stadium, the first one, without any sign of a team coming. And then to be able to negotiate with the help of Dave Frick and others that deal with Irsay to bring the Colts to Indianapolis from Baltimore and to see the trucks coming in and all the rest of it with the Mayflower trucks with the equipment. I mean, my goodness, that was probably, in a sense, the high point of my thrills, if you want to put it that way, or most satisfying moments.
We've gotten an email from a listener that I think you all know and will recognize. This comes from former Indiana Chief Justice Randall Shepard, who says, our city has been extraordinarily fortunate to be led by such great leaders. Thanks from all of us. And then he says, my question, one of the challenges of being mayor is that with the mayor, while the mayor is the most visible public official, there's plenty of local government that is actually run by other office holders. How does a mayor navigate this conundrum of appearing to be responsible for many things the mayor doesn't control? Yours truly, Randy Shepard. Mayor Hudnut, I'll start with you on that one.
Well, I think that good management is the art of getting things done through people, and good leadership is motivating people to get those things done. And so what you have to do is to surround yourself with the best talent you can find and let them have at it and not micromanage them. Sure, we had, in my time, I think, six different city departments with lots of subterranean departments and offices and agencies underneath them. We had a lot of appointments we could make to different boards and agencies. And in it all and through it all, you had to let people work their will and be receptive to taking advice. I think one of the most important lessons to learn as a leader is that you have to be willing to listen. You have to be flexible. You have to recognize when other people have a better idea than you. We had cabinet meetings every week or every other week. I can't remember which. I met with the fire and police chiefs every Friday morning to discuss problems with them and met with others also frequently. And I tried to give authority to the deputy mayors to do what they could to be both Mr. Inside and Outside in terms of what they did to, on the one hand, cement our outreach and our relationships with the community, but on the other hand, to make sure that the internal mechanisms ran. So it's a question, I think, of being willing to deputize other people to do their job and then letting them do it, and if there's a problem, talking to them about it.
Mayor Lugar.
I think that Bill has illustrated very well the principles of good management. I would just simply add that In a political job of that sort, you start with the fact that you owe a certain amount to those who helped you get elected. And so in terms of appointments, you have to give consideration to that because you're in a political situation. At the same time, it's very important that you pay attention to each of these people. It's not just a question of the election and then you're on your own. It's a question of helping them mature and grow in their jobs, because they're not going to be doing those jobs as a rule forever. They're in a mid-course career situation, too. We were all growing together. I was a pretty young guy as mayor, and so were most of the people who were around me, not only in the city-county building, but in the police department, the fire department, the sanitation department, everybody. And so it's a question, in addition to being there to stop trouble, on the good side, being there to compliment people, to pay attention to them, make sure they know that you care and that you're following them.
Mayor Peterson.
You know, this question of dispersed power in local government is really an important one, and I believe that UNIGOV is the best thing that ever happened to Indianapolis, and that was Dick Lugar's achievement. But when I got into office, there were still components of UNIGOV that were yet to be completed. We had two different police departments, the Marion County Sheriff's Department along with the Indianapolis Police Department. We had, I believe, 11 separate fire departments in Marion County. And we have all the components of township government. And so we undertook to try to what I called complete UNIGOV. And we got partially there. We combined the two police departments. We now have the IMPD. We were able to start consolidating the fire department into IFD. There are, I believe, still a few township fire departments that exist, but most of them are now part of IFD. We've eliminated some of the elements of township government. For my taste, not nearly enough. But we started unified budgeting between the city government and the county government when I first came into office. The county, auditor maybe, presented the county budget, and the mayor presented the city budget. We ended up having a consolidated budget after a few years. So I think we've made progress toward eliminating some of that wasteful duplication of government services and dispersal of power. But I still think we have a little ways to go here in Indianapolis. But I give a huge credit to Dick for getting us a big step down the road. And I believe it's really the single reason Indianapolis is in the position that it's in today is because because of UNIGOV and what we accomplished through that.
We've been talking an awful lot about the fact that there's going to be a new mayor fairly soon, because that's what today's election is about. But the other big event that goes on here is that there's going to be another member of your club, the former mayor's club. Mayor Ballard will leave the office soon. And I would think, I can tell from talking to all of you, the passion you had for the job, the enjoyment, the satisfaction, I would think leaving that is difficult too. I mean, one moment you are the leader of the city, and then the next, after an oath, you are not anymore. I'm going to start with you, Mayor Lugar. What was it like letting go?
As I mentioned earlier, I really felt completely at a loss the day or two after I left. It was a 24/7 deal, and devoting that much time and energy to it, very difficult to change the pace. On the other hand, I was very fortunate that Dr. Gene Cease out at University of Indianapolis, then called Indiana Central, had offered me an opportunity to teach a class. He knew that I was going to run for the Senate. So he said I could teach in the morning and campaign in the afternoon and evening. And so rapidly we got into a different routine, began to think about other issues, and went statewide. And so that was a very exciting transition, and I appreciate Gene Cease and likewise the students that whom I visit each day who were sustaining and encouraging all by themselves.
Mayor Hudnut, how hard was it for you to let go? I mean, you're the longest
Cease
serving.
Dr. Cease was very helpful to me at the beginning when I was transitioning from being in Congress to becoming mayor. And I taught down there the year before Dick Lugar, as I recollect, ran for Senate. Anyway, I'll be frank with you. The last night when I was packing up and I knew that it was January 1st the next day and I would be out of office, my wife and I were there in the city county building packing up the final boxes, and I started, I don't cry very often, but I started to get tears in my eyes thinking it's all over. I had really what I considered to be a very joyous run for 16 years. There were some problems, of course, and toward the end I said to my wife, I'm not sure I need the grief anymore. Because 16 years, you can stay too long. And I didn't want to stay too long, and I thought it was time to leave. And I didn't know what I was going to do, to be honest with you. I had no idea. We went to Harvard for a six-month internship at the Kennedy School. which helped in our transition. But I was very sad to leave because I had thoroughly enjoyed the job.
Mayor Peterson.
Well, in my case, Bill, the citizens told me they didn't want me to stay too long. But I think the first thing I'd tell Mayor Ballard is get ready to hunt for parking spots and put the Parkmobile app on your cell phone because you're going to have to start paying for parking.
And learn how to pump your own gas.
But, you know, I think part of it is keeping things in perspective. I was always conscious that I was the steward of the job. I wasn't the job. I didn't identify myself with the job. I knew that it was only going to be there for a period of my life, and that I was going to have to be the same person that I always was once I got out of the job. So I think I was psychologically ready for the changes. As I look back, though, what I started missing right away, and probably 8 years later, the thing I miss the most is being able to wake up each morning and set the agenda for the city. Obviously, the mayor doesn't have dictatorial powers, but the mayor has an awful lot of authority when it comes to setting the city's agenda and to direct, you know, to set the direction that the city's going to move in, to start projects, to lead with the moral authority of the office, and that's pretty heady stuff, and it's really fun stuff as well. And I think that's probably the thing I started missing immediately.
Got about a minute left, so I'm going to ask real quickly in like a sentence, two sentences at most. Mayor Lugar, what's your advice for the next mayor?
To get out in a patrol car with the policeman and find out what's happening in the neighborhoods of Indianapolis and what kind of a job that policeman has ahead of him.
Mayor Hudnut, your advice to the next mayor?
To get ready for the snowstorm.
That does seem to be a motif in your experience.
Well, there are a lot of other things, but the basic thing is remember you've got to mind the store before you do anything else.
Mayor Peterson.
Have a great time and enjoy the job and also stay in good physical shape because it's really physically demanding, a 24/7 job.
I'd like to, that'll be the last word, but I would be remiss if I didn't thank our guests, former mayors Richard Lugar, William Hudnut, Stephen Goldsmith, and Bart Peterson, not just for joining us today, but also for their years of service to our city. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here, and thank you for all you have done for Indianapolis. And to our listeners, I would say, if you have not voted already, please go out and do so. This is the day when your voice can be heard. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.